midst of anxiety and chaos and uncertainty, there is a stabilizing factor that God has provided, and that's found in His church. His church. You say, why are we where we are today? Why are we here? It's because God has ordained that in the midst of life, with all of its uncertainties, that really we all experience from time to time. I don't know of anyone whose life has always gone exactly the way they thought it would. Oh, I've heard people say that, but I don't believe it. Life is such that there are uncertainties you face, some things you didn't plan on. Sometimes you see it as an inconvenience. Sometimes it creates questions in your mind. Sometimes it might bring a certain degree of pleasure and joy. Other times it can bring great concern. But the fact is that there are uncertainties in life. And this morning I just want to read a psalm that really touches on the goodness of God and points out the fact that in a life that does have its moments of uncertainty, and that God is still there, and God has provided a place where we can go and find refuge and help and comfort, where we can be sustained and revived. Now, last week I spoke on that subject of staying the course, touching again on the importance of living the Christian life and not just being good at starting the race of life and not just be good at finishing, but it's all that goes on in between. We don't emphasize that enough. It's all that goes on in between. And that makes a difference to God. The idea of staying the course. And this morning I want to read this verse. It's a somewhat familiar passage. It's found in Psalm 84. You might recognize some of the words here as lyrics to a chorus that you might have sung in the past. At least very similar to. But Psalm 84, and then in this psalm, there's particularly one place I want us to stop and take notice of, and I'd like to highlight this morning. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Let me just interject here. You get the picture of someone who gets excited about being in the presence of the Lord. Someone who gets excited about going to church or going to the place of worship. Can't wait for it. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. One of the favorite places the writer finds himself is in the house of the Lord. If he had a list that he was making of places I would rather be or would like to be, right at the top would be the house of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? I don't know that that's the case today with most Christians. We think of it as a place we would go. I'm not so sure it would be at the top of the list. But this is at the top of the list. Isn't that amazing? He's excited about getting to the house of God. He can't wait to get there. And it goes on to say this, verse 5. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Going back to verse 6, passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The valley of Baca. It's an interesting reference. I want to speak for a few moments this morning on passing through the valley. God promises blessing. You'll find it time and time again. It's a consistent message throughout the Bible, from cover to cover, for those who trust him, those who put their confidence in him. If you live for God, you have every right to believe that God is going to bless you, because his word says that. It's one of the truisms of the word of God. If you will put God first. Remember, we quote that verse so often. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things kind of fall into place. That's a paraphrase of it. Everything else will fall. If you seek God first, then all of those things you really want in life and all those things that bring you happiness and joy, God's going to make provision for you. God's going to take care of it. But it's a matter of priority. You put him at the top. You seek him first. We find that. It's a promise for those who have a heart for God. And the interesting thing is, oftentimes it will come in the midst of despair and suffering, when the world would say, you have no reason, no reason to be happy or joyous. God, in the midst of despair, adversity, midst of sorrow, as you're passing through that valley, that's where God many times will meet you. And looking at this passage, Barnes, in his notes, he's written a commentary in his notes, he makes some observations. He says the true rendering of this passage is the valley of lamentation, or the valley of weeping. That's the way it can be translated. In most translators, that's the way they translate it. The valley of lamentation, or the valley of weeping. Valley of sorrows, valley of weeping. And he speculates, he says, you know, it may have some reference to a lonely valley in Palestine, we're not sure, where there was no water, maybe a gloomy way through which those who commonly passed would go up to the place of worship. They'd be traveling to their place of worship, but to get there they had to go through this valley. And it was a rather bleak place. It wasn't lush with vegetation and beautiful, it was just a place that was difficult to get through, but you had to go through it to get to the place you wanted to go to. And he goes on to say it could be used as being emblematic of human life, a veil of tears, or place of tears. Going up to the house of God. A journey that otherwise might be filled with gloom and sadness because of the way you were going, a place where you might shed tears, becomes a place of comfort. It has the effect of changing a gloomy path into one of pleasantness and beauty. It goes on to say it's similar to the idea you find in Isaiah 35:7, where it says, the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes. In other words, in that bleak place, when God shows up, God takes the desert land, the bleak land, and he makes it lush and fertile. place of blessing, the place where you would least expect it. God turns it around, and that's where he's going to bless you. Sometimes, isn't it interesting that in order to be at that place of blessing, you've got to be in the valley of tears? I don't want to go there. Well, sorry. Because that's where God's going to meet you. It's in the valley of tears, the valley of Baca, that you've got to go there. And if you go through there, then God will meet you there. And when he meets you, it'll be like nothing else. Something that you otherwise would never experience. It's going to be there. That's where he's going to meet you. But it's so bleak, it's gloomy, and dry, and parched, and it's just not a place I want to be. That's okay. It's always okay because God is there. Wherever God is, it's always okay. It's always okay. And I was reading through this and I thought to myself, what is it about this psalm that suggests a situation can be turned from gloominess and darkness to a place where there's blessing and where it's pleasant? And I was thinking about how it's worded here. And the fact that there is a certain responsibility that falls upon the believer. It's the one that's going through the valley. There's a certain responsibility there upon that individual. We can point out the gloominess of the situation and the hardship, or else we can turn and look to God and trust him. And in that trust and in that confidence, then God will bless. It's an attitude of heart. It opens with that, how lovely are thy dwelling places. You see the joyous soul that longs for the presence of God. It's an attitude that one takes with them as they journey throughout life. So that your joy and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, doesn't depend so much on where you are. The idea is you could be anywhere and still have it. You could be in a place where others would say, that's a nice place to be. But you could be in that valley of tears where others would say, I don't want to go there. It won't make any difference, though, because you have an attitude of heart and soul. That in the midst of it all, you're still being blessed. And God is blessing you. And the commentator, he takes note of that. He says, you know, it's kind of like what we find in Job 35:10 when it says, he's talking about circumstances, and he says, but no one says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? See, Job experienced it too. His friend said, you know, why don't you just admit of your wrongdoing? The wife wants him to curse God and die, and you know. But yet, Job saw something in the midst of it all. It's in the nighttime when you don't expect that, the merrymaking to take place and the music to come forth. And he says, there are songs that come forth in the nighttime hours of life. God is there. It's kind of like in Acts 16:25 when it talks about at midnight, Paul and Silas in stocks, they decided to make the best of their circumstances. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that, other than maybe being physically beaten. Here they are in stocks, a very uncomfortable place to be. And they're jailed not through any wrongdoing of their own part, but because of accusations and hate directed towards them and the spread of the gospel. And there they are. And at midnight, they begin to sing. They, well, let's just start singing. And they began to sing. And it certainly got the attention of others because it says about midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns and praise to God. It says, and the prisoners were listening to them. It was in that darkness of the midnight hour and the situation. They were in that valley of tears. They ought to be weeping and lamenting their circumstances. They ought to be just caught up in despair. And they start singing. They start singing. And as they sang, I believe the glory of the Lord started to come down. Like we experience from time to time when we sing. And we feel the presence of Jesus in this place. I just got a feeling in my soul that they took those circumstances in that jail and it became a sanctuary where God's presence began to fill that place. The other prisoners heard them singing at the midnight hour in the darkest of night. And all was in despair. In that valley of tears, they sang out praise to God. And God met them there. Aren't you thankful they were where they were at that time? We wouldn't have this wonderful story of deliverance were it not for the fact that they did what they did. What about it? What would have happened if they had kept silent? What would have happened if they said, well, I guess we just got to accept this. I guess let's just focus on our circumstances. How in the world are we going to get out of this? I don't know. And they started commiserating and having a little pity party right there and talking back and forth. And you know, we were unfairly dealt with. If they focused on all that negativity, we would never have the story of deliverance that we have. What a beautiful story. They were in a situation nobody wanted to be in. They were there in that valley of tears. But you see, you have to go through that valley to get to that place, the dwelling place of God. That's where we're headed. We're headed to that place where God's presence is. And sometimes it leads through that valley of tears. Someone asked C.S. Lewis, and he said, why do the righteous suffer? You know what his answer was? Why not? He replied, they're the only ones who can take it. I thought that was a great answer. That's why the righteous suffer. They're the only ones who can take it because they've got God with them. They can meet God in that valley of suffering. In that place of despair. That's where God is. God is not absent in the valley of despair. God is there. That's the whole point. That's why there's blessing to be found in that place. Hardship often leads to blessing when you put your confidence in God. It often serves to strengthen our lives. So we actually become better Christians in our daily walk. Think of it. Want to be a better Christian? It may be that you have to go through the valley of tears, the valley of sorrows. But you want to be a better Christian. Well, that's the way to go. But don't hesitate. Don't stop. Don't lament. Don't focus on the circumstances. Focus on the deliverer, the one who is able to carry you through. And God will meet you right there. He'll take the parched land and make it lush and fertile. He'll take the dry places and he'll water them with his presence. Where there's nothing but scenes of death, all of a sudden life will spring forth. Right there. That valley. A man was visiting an orange grove, a man by the name of Parnell Bailey, and he observed this. He was going through an orange grove. They were showing him, taking him on a little tour, and he was in an area where an irrigation pump had broken down. The season wasn't very helpful. It was unusually dry, and some of the trees were beginning to die for lack of water. And the man that was giving him the tour then took him to his own orchard, where irrigation was used sparingly. Went on to say, these trees could go without rain for another 2 weeks, he said. He said, you see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them, and this hardship caused them to send their roots deeper into the soil in search of moisture. And now mine are the deepest rooted trees in the area. While others are being scorched by the sun, these are finding moisture at a greater depth. His orchard was flourishing. Others were dying. You see, instead of lamenting, saying, God, and I've heard that prayer many times from people. They say, Pastor, why did God do this to me? Or why did, and you know, it's not God so much doing anything to any of us. It's life. That's just part of life. It has its ups and downs, you know. It has its mountains, it has its valleys. You know, one thing I found, we had someone talking this morning about how difficult it is to go over the mountains. And I've done some mountain climbing, not a lot, but I've done some. And it's tough. If I have to get from point A to point B, guess what? I'd much rather go through the valley instead of over the mountains. Say, oh, but you missed the heights on the top. Well, it's nice in the mountaintop, but you know, you got to climb down and then there's another climb up. And sometimes, I know, spending a lot of my earlier years outdoors and various activities and pursuits, and I'd be out in places where I'd never been before, oftentimes I look for those valleys in between the mountains where I could go. Sometimes it was difficult. There'd be thicket that was there and thorns and stuff you had to get through, but I knew what my strength was, and sometimes I'd rather face that than have to taking a long climb up the mountain, not knowing what you're going to find when you get down the other side. You know, some people want to be on the mountaintop all the time. I don't know. The valleys, they have their advantage too. Be careful in your Christian walk, in that endeavor to stay the course and being faithful, that you don't disdain where God has you at that particular time of life. God has a way of watering that place where you're at. You say, oh, but it's so dry, it's parched, it's... Maybe. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord. The psalmist wrote that. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Following those highways to Zion. They go from strength to strength. I love that verse. The difficult times are there not to destroy you. It makes you stronger. If you know anything about building the body up physically, you know that you tear down muscle to build muscle. You tear it down through the lifting of weights or through resistance, and then the body recoups and it builds back where you were, and then it adds a little more. It strengthens you, and there's something beneficial in being able to face adversity. And in a spiritual sense, I believe for the child of God, the adversity is never meant to destroy you or to harm you. It's to make you better. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. How blessed is that man, passing through the valley of Baca. Now, the emphasis is on those that are passing through. They make it a spring. And then it goes on to say, the early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. It's talking about a place of blessing for those who persevere, stay the course, they keep going through that time of testing. Well, simple thought, and it winds up with this encouragement. Behold our shield, O God, look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God. You get a picture of somebody who's come to that place, and they begin to look and they see what's going on inside. The threshold, you know, is that place of entry. You're there, you're not even in. You're just on the threshold. But just being on the threshold is thrilling. It's almost good enough for you. You're on the threshold there. And just being on the threshold and observing what God is doing, it gets you all excited. And you get motivated. And you all of a sudden get inspired. It just lifts you right up because you're observing what's happening in that place where God's presence is. You're observing it all. I'd rather be right there on the threshold. I don't even have to be inside. Oh, God, bring me to that place where I can at least see what's happening all around. See the blessing of God being showered down upon his people. See, I look for that. Day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I want to stand on that threshold, the house of God. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. The tents speak of a place of security, a place where you can dwell, a place where you're covered, you're protected. But I don't want to be in that place inside of a place where there's wickedness and evil and all those things that are degrading, all those things that are contrary to God's divine will for me. I want to be in that place where God is moving. Get me away from the tents of wickedness. Place me on the threshold of the house of God, and I'll be fine. I'll be happy. That's where I want to be. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. How blessed is the man who trusts in thee. No good thing does he withhold. What are those good things that you desire? Seeking first the kingdom of God. Hear me this morning. You have certain desires in your life. Seek the kingdom of God first. And then God will provide the other things. See, that's an attitude of heart. That's what I was saying earlier. It's the attitude of the one going through the valley of tears. What is their attitude? That's what makes the difference. Not the hardships they face. The focus ought to be on the provision of God and his ability to redeem and to save and to deliver and to sustain. And when the focus is proper, it doesn't make any difference where you are. Mountaintop, valley, makes no difference. Because God will meet you both places. He'll be there in both places. Passing through the valley. I trust that if that has been your experience, that it will be an experience of blessing for you. Don't be overcome by the obstacles you face. Let God be your sustainer and your deliverer in the valley as well as on the mountaintop. Would you bow in prayer? Your word declares, O God, that we are blessed when we pass through those valleys of adversity, and we don't always understand it. It's something that it really runs contrary to the way we think and we reason. We tend to look at hardship as always being negative, something that's going to destroy us, and yet your words points us to the fact that sometimes to get where you want us to be, we have to pass through those places that are unpleasant. And that requires that we trust you in such a way that we not allow our feelings to overtake us and detract from what you're trying to do. You are faithful. You will see your people through, regardless, as we put our trust in you. This morning, Lord, I pray for everyone here. Lord, everyone faces from time to time the valley experience. Everyone does. And I just pray, Lord, that you will place within your people the attitude of an overcomer, one who says, I'm going through this. It may not be pleasant. I don't like it, but I know God is faithful. If it means I need to discipline myself to sing when perhaps in the natural I would just don't feel like singing, but as an act of obedience and as a witness, I'm going to sing praise to the Lord and rejoice. I'm going to give thanks, even though in the natural I don't feel like it. I'm still going to do it because I know my God has not forsaken me. He knows right where I am. And though this place where I'm at seems to be parched and barren, maybe a place of death, my God can make it a place of life. Springs of living water can break forth. And what appears to be so desolate can be a place where God's blessing is evident. God, lead us to that place where we'll trust you regardless. And we'll know that you have our best interest at heart. You've promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Let us trust your word, O God. Though we travel through the valley, may we know that we go through the valley with you. That you go even before us. And that should be sufficient enough for us to rejoice. May your people seize hold of that promise. And may they experience the blessing of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Lord, you're the shepherd of my soul. I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made the choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Quiet pasture or by a gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul will be my guide.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand in God's presence this morning and let's affirm our place in Christ by so doing. God is our shield, he is our strength, he is our provider. And this very week, will be a week of blessing for you if you just put your confidence and trust in the Lord. Why not make it your goal that this entire week, when something comes your way and it looks like you're going to have to pass through a valley, immediately your response will be, I'm going to turn to the Lord. I'm not going to allow this to overtake me. I'm going to just put my confidence in the Lord. And God, I know you still love me, and I'm going to start praising you. Why not do one of those Paul and Silas things, you know, and just start praising God and say amen. The devil thinks he's got the upper hand, but I know differently. And just start praising the Lord. Maybe sing a little tune that you're reminded of, want a worship song or something, and something that expresses what you really feel in your heart for God. Why not do that and turn that place into a sanctuary? That place where you're at, and say, you know, Lord, I'm going to continue to be positive. I'm going to look at your sufficiency, and I'm not going to cave in. And I know, God, you have blessing for me. I know it. And I'm going to persevere. I'm on the highway to heaven, the highway to Zion. And I'm not going to allow anything to deter me. Nothing's going to come in my path to keep me from my destination. And if it means I have to pause for a moment and stop right here and lift my voice in praise to you, that's what I'm going to do. Because you're worthy. And you've never failed me. And these circumstances I'm faced with, they're not going to keep me from experiencing your blessing. I'm going to put my trust in you. And then move on. And just keep moving. And let that place be a place where you met God. Where God met you. A place of blessing. Lord, we thank you for who you are, for what you have done. We thank you for the many examples from your scripture of people who have fought the good fight of faith, those who have labored for you, some in difficult times, facing adversity even, but yet the joy of the Lord was evident. Lord, you gave songs in the night. You were there in that valley of tears, the valley of weeping. You were there for them, and they came through victorious, and they're examples to us today of your abiding grace. Lord, may that be the experience of your people today. Our circumstances are different. These times are different in which we live, but your grace and your sufficiency is still the same. So I pray that we might experience it this very week. May it be a week of blessing. Whether we're on the mountaintop or traveling through the valley, may it be a week of blessing where we can honor you and lift up your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, I have Bible study and the other church ministries.